Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, excuse me, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. Little background, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I'm on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and to empower people, especially adults, to own their voice and talents that come in so many different forms. This space was created to talk with people with all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk with so many different people, musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, physicists, biologists, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So I believe that sharing these stories expands one's thinking, opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Mari Riesberg. Mari is a therapist, performer, podcast host of Sustaining Creativity Podcast and Creativity Cultivator. She currently splits time between the traditional 9-to-5 world as the director of utilization review and internship programming for a substance abuse treatment center and her own sustaining creativity business where she works one-on-one with performers and non-performers to spark, grow, sustain, share, and transform creativity in their lives. Mari, welcome to the space.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yay. Wonderful.
You're like, I'm here.
I'm here. Yes.
I see you.
Oh, so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me to chat with you today
and have
a creative conversation.
I am so excited. Two creative types having a creative conversation. We will see how deep this will go.
Oh, I cannot wait.
So, Mari, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself, whatever you would like to share?
Sure. So, I currently live outside of Denver, Colorado, but I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and I had a pretty unique upbringing. I was sent to trapeze school at the age of 3, and then continued to practice and participate in trapeze for the next 17 years until I went off to college. And I grew up with very spiritual kind of hippie parents. I had a 30-foot walking labyrinth in my front yard as a kid.
Oh my God.
And, for those of you who don't know what a walking labyrinth is, it is a sacred geometric walking path that it's kind of like a walking meditative process and experience. So I grew up with one of those in my front yard as a kid. And then I went off to acting school for my undergraduate degree. I lived in New York City for a while. I sang with an Irish band. I was a nanny. And then I was introduced to the creative arts therapies and called to really participate in dance movement therapy. So I moved to Colorado and went to Naropa University to get my master's in somatic counseling psychology, dance movement therapy. And I am now a dance movement therapist as well as a creativity coach. And I work with performers and non-performers around sustaining creativity in their lives and how to incorporate creativity in your everyday life. Because I think living a creative life, you have so much fun and joy and happiness. It doesn't mean that all of the challenge and struggle goes away. We just end up looking at it through a different lens.
I love that part where you said it doesn't mean that all that other stuff goes away. It's not like we're living in some rainbows and unicorns world where we're like, life is so gorgeous all the time. Like,
right. We're
not clueless, but we choose to see it from a different lens, a different perspective. And I love that you brought that up. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's that opportunity to pause and get creative with how we're seeing what is showing up in our life or what is presenting it or what challenge we're faced with.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah, it is a choice. Exactly. It's funny, as you were saying about the labyrinth in your front yard, I was thinking, well, some people have a jungle gym. And some people have a labyrinth.
Exactly.
It's so great, though. It just shows, you know, how different. It's like, you know, everybody has a different story, these different perspectives, these different lenses, which is why these conversations that I love having and I know you love having in your space, it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. And the people I get to meet talking about creativity from around the world on my podcast, as I'm sure you have had the experience as well, is it's a, just such a magical, fun way to connect with people.
Yeah, it really is. Because it's so expansive. Like you can, the conversation just really expands a person's thinking. And it's just a, it's sometimes the conversations get really deep and sometimes they're just full of laughing. It can be a combination of both. It's just, it's great. It's been a great ride.
Nice. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So let's dive into the would you rather question. And then we're going to dive into our first question. But I wanted to acknowledge and thank anybody that's here live. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. Feel free to put any questions or comments in the chat box below where we can see. And that would be great. So I had two written down for you, Mari. I'm going to see which one I'm going to go with. So, okay. I got it. So would you rather walk to work in heels or drive there in reverse?
Ooh, walk in heels for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, driving in reverse, okay. Yeah, but walking in heels, like there's so much more opportunity for expression and...
I love it.
Like full body experience.
I love it. Oh my God. Are you a good heel walker?
God, it's been a while. Working from home, I don't have much opportunity to walk around in heels outside of my house. But there have been times in my life where I really enjoy putting on really high heels and walking around. I mean, it doesn't last very long, but it's definitely fun.
It is, I have to say, and she wouldn't mind me saying it. She's probably not going to listen to this, but she wouldn't mind me saying my next door neighbor that I love, we're just so completely opposite. And we've lived next to each other for 19 years. And she'll come over in heels and a dress and all of this stuff. And I'm like, so where are you going? She's like, nowhere. I'm like, what?
like what a beautiful expression of creativity and like that art of getting dressed experience.
It is. It's totally the art of getting dressed. Where she looks at me and she sees my slides and she goes, are those your only shoes? I'm like, well, I have like another pair. And she's just like, oh my God.
Yes. That's amazing.
It's so different. But that's the beauty of it. We're all different.
Yes.
So, okay. So this is going to be fun. So Mari, how do you define creativity?
Oh, I love this question. I define it in two pieces. So creativity to me is all about generating ideas. It's that experience, that process of generation. And then we have innovation, which is the putting into action component of creativity. So for me, creativity is all about generating ideas and daydreaming and thinking up incredible, wonderful things to do and how I want to do it. And then innovation is about the actual doing and putting it out into the world. So that's, I look at creativity through those two lenses, the generating and the doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically the thinking and the doing, the generating, like I'm thinking about, like you get these sparks, you get these downloads, you get these, whether it comes in your mind, whether it's a full body experience, whether it's whatever it is, it's like internal. And then, or it could be external with speaking it or whatever. And then it's sculpting it. It's like shaping it into life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's where the play comes in. I mean, it's such a full experience, from thinking about something or mulling some challenge or problem around in your mind, or, you know, creating some magical world in your mind. And then what are you doing with it? Or how are you going to share it with others or keep it for yourself? Maybe it's your own private personal experience of creativity, and that's fine. And I love having those as well. But that experience of that process, I think for so many people, creativity is this very much like about producing something, and it doesn't have to be. It can just be the process and the joy you get from daydreaming, or the experience you have thinking up cool ways to drive to work.
Yeah. So important that it doesn't have to be this finished product, mm-hmm. that it's in the process. It makes it so much more expansive.
Yeah. There's so much more freedom in it. For me personally, there's much more freedom in recognizing that it is a process. It's not about the end product. And I might get stuck along the way, but that's where the fun comes in. I get to problem solve, or I get to set it aside and come back to it later. Or, you know, it's the experience of giving yourself permission to try something.
Yeah, permission. Permission is a huge word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll never forget. Being an art teacher for 30 years, and one of the places that I worked in, which was amazing back in the 90s, I can say, sounds so long ago. Back in the late 90s, I was working for an organization that was so great with, we did a residency, and we would go into all different kinds of settings, school, homeless shelters, all these different places. And we worked with the parents, the kids, and the teachers. Oh, wow. So it was this well-rounded program, and it was very process-oriented. So meaning it wasn't about them creating this amazing piece in the end, but it was about them experiencing it and then seeing what they learned along the way. So like we'd have 6 weeks of painting, 6 weeks of collage, 6 weeks of sculpture, 6 weeks of clay. And in saying all of this, it was amazing, because I'll never forget when this one parent, because they had with these parent workshops, and they actually had a budget, and they gave each parent a bag of supplies to go home and play.
Yeah.
And one of the moms brought back a sculpture that her and her child, her son, made, and said, I wanted to give this to you because it was one of the many sculptures that her son and the husband created together, and it was the first thing they ever did together.
Wow. Oh, I love creativity so much.
Isn't that insane?
It was lives.
It was a bunch of wood pieces, glue, watercolors, and pipe cleaners.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what it was. And cardboard bases. So yeah, it is. It's just awesome. It creates, just through the process, they just made their own thing. It wasn't saying, we'll follow step 1, 2, 3, and 4, and this is what you'll get.
Yeah. And I love that, the connection that it allowed to emerge.
Yeah, connection.
That's such a gift, I think, that creativity brings to relationships, to friendships, to parent-child interaction, at your place of employment, you know? Being able to connect with other people through that creative lens can, I think, shift a lot of challenging situations.
Yeah. So speaking about work, I'm curious about this, because here you are. It's so interesting, everything that you've done. I mean, oh my God, there are so many things that I want you to dive into more about. I mean, freaking going to trapeze school since you were 3. I mean, yeah. I want to hear about this, the circus, acting, and then here into being a dance therapist and your own. I mean, so many creative juices flowing, but
there are, for sure. Yeah. Well, to start at the beginning with my trapeze adventure, I lived three blocks away from a trapeze school in Portland, Oregon. And I was a bit of a rowdy three-year-old, and my mom was pregnant with my brother and wanted me out of the house. So I was sent to trapeze school to get the energy out. And I just fell in love with performing and swinging. And the trapeze was not the typical flying trapeze. It was more aerial dance. So the trapeze could be 2 feet off the floor, 25 feet off the floor. There were no nets. So you really had to know what you were doing and have a lot of strength. And then I started performing with the, it was called Do Jump Extremely Physical Theater troupe. And I started performing with them when I was three. And then I was a member of their children's performing troupe. We were called the Pop-Tarts, a name that we came up with. I think I was six when I joined the Pop-Tarts. And we made our own shows. We wrote our own pieces. And yeah, we had so much fun and learned all the ins and outs of aerial work and performing and what it was to learn lighting and design and stage management and all of that. And it just became my world. And performing was the place where I felt at most at home, being on stage and having all these really creative humans around me, people who had gone to circus school or who were learning circus skills. And, you know, we would learn how to walk on stilts and juggle and ride unicycles. And that was just such a unique experience to have. And then when I went to high school, I really got into theater and musical theater in particular. And I love to sing. And so that was the next kind of outlet for me. And I was still doing trapeze and still performing there. And then I took a year off between high school and college, and I toured with the Aerial Dance Company. And we had the opportunity to perform at the New Victory Theater in New York City for a month and a half. And so I lived in New York at 18. And that was a very, very big experience, mm-hmm. going from Portland, Oregon to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
By yourself. And then I ended up getting into the Hart School at the University of Hartford, their Performing Arts Conservatory. And so I went there for musical theater and acting. And then after that, I moved to New York City to really like dig into the whole acting world. And I got really paralyzed with the idea of auditioning and having someone tell me that I wasn't what they were looking for. And I just didn't have any skills to not take it personally, mm-hmm. and to keep showing up and to just keep recognizing that if someone was telling me that they didn't like how I looked, what I sounded like, how I was doing something, that it didn't have anything to do with me. I very much personalized it. And so I kind of set acting and performing aside in the more theatrical aspect. And I ended up singing with an Irish band. And that was so much fun. That was what I was looking for in that performing experience. Mm-hmm. But so then I ended up as a nanny and living in New York City and trying to figure out what I really wanted to do with my life. And I was introduced to the creative arts therapies, and dance movement therapy really spoke to me as a way to support change in your life through your body. And I knew how important movement had been in my own personal growth and life experience throughout my childhood and young adulthood, that I wanted to really share that with other people. So I went to grad school and got a degree in somatic counseling and emphasis in dance movement therapy. And while I was in grad school, I started putting these pieces together around areas I really felt I'd missed as an actor and wished I'd had as an actor. So some skills to really support me in navigating rejection on a daily basis and navigating big emotions or boundaries or what safety is. A lot of times in the theater world, you will walk into a rehearsal space and the director or stage manager or someone will say, this is a safe space, try anything, we're here to create. But no one has really talked about safety or who's holding safety or what safety means, how it's created. Can you say no? Can you, you know, set a boundary and have that be respected? And in grad school for psychology, I really recognized what a gap there was in the performing world where we just don't talk about safety. We just kind of assume that everyone feels safe because this is what you've decided to do. You're here to be a performer and you're essentially, you know, really cutting yourself open and being vulnerable emotionally for strangers 8 times a week. So yeah. That
I want to address that actually for a minute.
Yeah, please.
So yeah. So when you're talking about safety within that space, because I think it's a really good point. Like when you were in that performing space, mm-hmm. here, everybody says this is a safe space. And did you actually, were you reprimanded on occasions for thinking, you know, actually expressing or,
and people expressing didn't agree? Like, this doesn't feel safe.
Or expressing like, okay, they're setting up the stage. This is a safe space. And then you're becoming expressive and doing what you're doing. And then you're reprimanded for it.
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know that I personally ever experienced that, but I do have performing friends who have. Mm-hmm. When there's just kind of given the broad spectrum of like, you can do... try anything, and then someone tries something and it like is dangerous, but mm-hmm. since no one has talked about it, the possibility of danger coming in, it's then like, oh, we shouldn't have done that, that's not okay, but try anything else.
And right,
so there isn't there's not a lot of boundaries, there's not a lot of support, or in the world of psychology we call it a container. Mm-hmm. That safety container that someone is in charge of, or everyone is kind of co-creating it, and we're holding that space together, supporting each other. When someone doesn't feel safe, okay, what needs to change? How can we show up in that space in a more authentic way to support someone feeling more safe than they did? And that is a really personal experience, you know. That, and that's the work that I do with performers and non-performers. What does safety feel like in your body? How do you know you feel safe in a situation? And then what happens with that safety when you come into relationship with someone else? Mm-hmm. Do you lose it? Do you feel more safe when you're in relationship with others? Do you feel more safe when you're by yourself? And that whole dance of safety in yourself, safety in relationship, and then safety in the environment, which as an actor includes an audience or the theatrical space that you're in also.
Yeah. So, sorry, I just had like a complete like brain fart for a minute.
No worries. I know, I just talked a lot about a lot of stuff.
Like, you did, and then I was just like so blank. being an actor and actress is, it's a very vulnerable situation you're putting yourself into. I've seen, my husband's done a lot of acting and he's in the film world. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who've been on the stage and in that space. And I know there's the persona, you get to step into another persona and kind of take that on. Mm-hmm. But when you were saying, which I really appreciate you saying, is this whole buildup of all of these things that you've done. I mean, my gosh, you had all of these opportunities of out of the box things, like so much movement and getting to experience. And when you were younger, being part of the Pop-Tarts and everything and creating, like, my gosh, you guys were in charge of the scripting and the lighting and the producing. Yeah. And like, first of all, on that, how old was he, like the producer? Were the kids producing or was this adults?
Yeah. I mean, the kids, as children, we led everything. It was our ideas. And then there were times when the adults like had to do the next step because, you know, we were in school and couldn't necessarily make the phone call to the newspaper or, you know, that type of stuff. But it was very much student led in that regard. And yet we had adults there guiding us and giving us support and sharing their knowledge and expertise with us as well.
Yeah.
But we were really given a lot of freedom to make mistakes and try new things and say like, well, what if we tried it this way? You know, maybe the adult hadn't done it that way before, but they were, you know, willing to support us and learning from that.
What's so beautiful? It's so beautiful in all of that because it really is. You're really learning there. It's because you could sit in a chair and be like, whoa, and then a lighting person takes this and moves it this way. But if, when you're physically kinesthetically doing it, like, you know, you're in it, it makes more sense and you get more excited about it. And you are, you wrote it, did all of you are invested because you did all of this. And then you're standing up and performing and it either flops or it's okay or it works. And then you can assess why, like it's real hands-on in it learning. And that's the only way, in my opinion. I mean, obviously we had the traditional school system set up and all this things and certain things work in certain ways, but I am totally for this, like in it kinesthetic learning, because that's where you get so excited and care. I don't want to be tested on algebra.
I know, me either. And, you know, in that real life experience, that's where your creativity is really allowed to flourish and grow. And, you know, not to say that creativity doesn't happen in the classroom. There are plenty of teachers who are incredibly creative and able to really, you know, bring that creative experience to whatever material it is they're teaching. But
yes.
You know, what is it like for students to have a little more voice and lead and share their passion about something? And that was what I always loved about teachers who really allowed students to make the assignment their own. Like you had an assignment, it had to be, you read this book and you had to do some presentation on it, but the nature of the presentation you could do however you wanted. It could, you could have written a song, you could have, you know, written a story, you could have baked something, you know, however you wanted to express it.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I'm not dissing on any teachers because believe me, I grew up, my mom was a teacher. I've been a teacher. Like I totally understand all of that. But in wanting to get more background on all that, and then leading up to this point where you've learned that, you know, you love being in this spotlight. And then you realized when it came down to it, that the whole auditioning thing, that is a thing. You were like, you know what, this whole taking rejection and I can't personalize this. I almost see like a fork in the road. You could be like, okay, I gotta woman up and I gotta be like, okay, I gotta get a tougher skin because this is what I want to do. And I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna move forward. Or like you kind of did a turnaround and really kind of realized this isn't really the area that I want to be in. Everything kind of led in this, but then it was a peak to be like, you know what? I want to go in this direction where I actually want to use this as an idea and then create a safer space in what I'm doing and in all that I'm doing to kind of face your challenges in a sense.
Yeah, because it was absolutely so much of that in being in grad school, learning all of these components of psychology and how I thought, oh, this would be so helpful for performers. And then in my second year of grad school, it was a 3-year program, I ended up auditioning for a rock opera and was cast in a rock opera in my second year of grad school. I have no idea why I did it, because grad school is like just so intense. But I was in this rock opera and I started having the opportunity to kind of practice on myself some of these things that I had started to play with between my theater degree and what I was learning in my master's degree. And that is really where it all kind of gelled and came together to really spark more creativity in how I wanted to move forward in my life and in my work, and how I really wanted to share it with other performers who I know really struggle with all of the same things that I struggled with, and how to support them to feel more grounded and solid in who they are. You know, as a therapist, I believe when we know ourselves, we have more capacity to take more risk. And when we feel safe, we have a bigger capacity to take creative risk specifically. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the foundation of a lot of the work that I do. And it really came together from me trying all of these ideas out on myself.
Right.
Putting them into action.
We are our best client.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Yes.
Yep. So yeah, this whole thing. And why don't you tell us before we move on to the second question? I mean, because here we're talking about a lot with working with performers. So applying this, because it is so much about knowing ourselves and having more capacity to take risks. I mean, in opening up the umbrella and thinking of people that are in the business world and in the sciences and in all these areas, and they're feeling stuck. I mean, I know what I say to them, kind of, but how do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, safety, the need for safety is everywhere, regardless of whether you're a performer or an entrepreneur, or you work in, you know, science arena or business arena or corporate America. And so I really focus on, what do you need to feel safe enough for your voice to be heard, or for you to use your voice to sometimes dissent from everyone else, or to share your ideas and feel that you have enough safety that if someone disagrees with you, it will be okay. And so that, you know, what does safety feel like in your body? Do you have external objects that you feel really safe with? Is there a song that helps you feel safety? You know, finding those objects. Do you have a desk space and you put a bunch of things in your desk space that help you really remind yourself that this is my safe space and I can flex my voice in new ways in this space? Particularly in the business world, there's the hierarchy, and I've worked in a lot of hospitals as well. So there's definite hierarchy and power differentials, and navigating that can be incredibly challenging, particularly when you don't agree with someone who is in a position of power above you, and how to feel safe enough to take a risk to let them know you disagree. So I do a lot of work around safety with all of my clients. And that's really the foundation. I know I keep coming back to it, but if we don't feel safe, it's really hard to take a risk, to try something new, to step outside of our comfort zone. And yet creativity comes alive at the edge of our comfort zone.
Yes, it does. It does. When you were at that space, we're like, oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. It's like, am I going to leap off the mountain, or am I just off the cliff, or am I going to step back?
And exactly.
It's when you take that leap, it's like, oh my God, this is scary as hell, but so freeing.
Yeah, scary. And yet you have a foundation of safety to come back to.
Yeah.
So you have that grounded space that you can dip a toe in the, oh my gosh, this is so scary, and now I'm going to come back and feel and take some breaths and maybe, you know, shake my body or do a 1-minute dance out and like play my favorite song and dance, move my body to it and feel like, okay, I'm okay again.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that though, because it is those little things. It doesn't have to be these huge gargantuan things. Music, what is my, you know, comfort, moving your body physically? Am I just going to like, doesn't have to be in front of anybody, or it could, you could have like a family dance party, or you could just be like dancing all over your basement and nobody sees you. You yes. could have that, you know, that make that drink. That's just a special drink for you. That's nourishing you. And it makes you smile. It's these little things also. They don't have to be grand gestures.
Absolutely. I know. I just did a long car drive from Oregon to Colorado and I danced. I did lots of chair dancing in my car. It was the most creativity I could experience while I was driving for 18 hours. But I think I want people to understand that creativity isn't always a big expression. It can be a very small moment.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to question number two, which is how do you mentioned a lot of things, but is there anything else you can mention about how you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Oh my gosh. Every day when I wake up, not every day. Many days of the week when I wake up, I think, how do I want to feel today? And I look at my closet and I think, okay, what clothes are going to help me feel that way? And I put them on. And if they do, great. If they don't, I change my outfit. Or I'll think, okay, what, you know, I'm feeling a little tender today. And so I want something that, you know, maybe covers me a little bit more. Creates a little shell for me to be in. Mm-hmm. So there's some creativity around getting dressed. I love creativity in the kitchen. I am a fan of opening my refrigerator and saying, okay, what do I have? And what can I make with that?
Yes.
Putting it together. And sometimes it's awful. Sometimes it is terrible. And being like, okay, well, I learned something and I can have a good laugh about it. And
we're ordering out.
Right. I'm ordering in. Or, you know, I guess it's grilled cheese tonight or something like that. But also, you know, playing around with, you know, plating food or what you put it on, or, you know, when was the last time you had a picnic, and even in the backyard or in the living room, that kind of stuff, getting a little creative in those areas. I love going on walks and will walk new ways around my neighborhood and look at other people's yards and gardens and what they've done with their house and get ideas about what I want to do with my house. Other ways creativity shows up in my own life. I sing all the time, I'm always singing. I have a record player and
I know. Yeah, I love it.
And so I will kind of rotate records on what my mood is or how I want to feel or dance. Right now, Sade is very old. Sade is the kind of on rotation, a little smooth operator while I cook dinner. But I also, you know, incorporate creativity in what I do in my 9-to-5 job. You know, I talk to a lot of insurance companies and make sure that they provide coverage for their members who are seeking treatment at the addiction recovery center I work at. And I have to get really creative in reading clinical documentation and then kind of sharing it with an insurance company to convince them that their members continue to need more support in their life. And so I get to play detective a bit and piece and a storyteller and create stories together. And so that's where creativity kind of shows up in my business life in more traditional 9-to-5.
I like that though. I'm sorry. I have to stop on that. I apologize. But the whole storyteller problem solving, I think it's just important to notice because people might be like, It's like the mundane. They might be like, well, all I do is paperwork. All I do is this kind of thing. But I like how you kind of prefaced it and you were like, I'm like a detective. It's like, mm-hmm. you have to go over all this information, synthesize it, then put it together in a story to make it short and simple.
Mm-hmm. And have someone else hear it enough to say, yep, that does sound like they need more support.
Yeah.
I think, as I said in the very beginning, you know, creativity is about that. We're looking at life and the world through a different lens. So saying, I'm going to be a detective today. And what does that, how does that change how you approach your job? Mm-hmm. Is a very unique experience.
Yeah. And then I cut you off. You were going to say something important.
Something important. I'm too important. I think I was just talking about like even supervising. So I supervise a lot of people at my 9-to-5 job. And so there's so much creativity in the relationships that I have with my supervisees and how I, you know, incorporate a bunch of creativity working with them and how I can support them more effectively, how they can do their job more effectively. And there's so much creativity and collaboration that goes into that. So I think when people in kind of the corporate world or business world feel like, oh, I'm not creative at all, there's opportunities to bring creativity into everything we do.
Yeah, definitely. That whole interpersonal skills is so important. People just don't realize the skill set in speaking and getting your ideas across and engaging people. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely a huge, important skill set. And kind of leading back to the whole thing of kind of creating that container, that safe space, the words that people choose and their body language and all of this is this whole vibrational aspect sets a tone.
Yeah. And I want to just let everyone know, I know you and I talk about creativity as it's like just something we do, but creativity is like a muscle. You have to practice and flex it. It's not something that is automatically going to come. We all have the capacity to be creative, but there is some aspect of engaging with it to continue to use it and incorporate it into your everyday life. So yeah. It is a choice.
Yeah, definitely is a choice. Mm-hmm. I also like what you said in the beginning about clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really true. I do it with my earrings.
I love that.
Yeah, I do it with my earrings. I definitely want to incorporate more about my clothes. I keep saying and expressing, and my daughter who is 18, she's just like, why don't you get more clothes? I'm like, it stresses me out. Like it totally stresses me out. It's that whole, I want to have more clothes that match my personality and how I'm feeling for that day, that emotional aspect. I like how you said, if you're feeling like a little bit more, you didn't use the word timid, but it was just kind of like tender. You wanted that shell to kind of feel a little bit more safe. Or if there's that outfit that has the deeper plunge in the front and you're just feeling like you want to be more exposed, or if you're wearing polka dots or, you know, whatever, it's just clothes are incredibly expressive. Shoes. I would have students, one of my schools, it was middle school and high school, and they was just, you know, would always challenge me. Of course, they didn't want to be in there because they just had to be there. And, I try and meet them where they were. But one conversation I remember, they were like, Ms. Citron, I'm just, you know, you hear it for the millionth time. I'm not creative. Like, I just don't want to, or like, why do I even need this? I'm like, you know what? I said, those shoes that you're wearing, somebody came up with the idea, came up with the design, created them, you're wearing them. The clothes that you're wearing on your body, you chose to wear them. Somebody came up with that idea for that design, went through this whole process, created, you're wearing it. The music that you listen to, somebody had that idea. Like we went down the whole list. I'm like, this building that we're in, somebody created this. The food that you eat, somebody created this. I'm like, everywhere you look, it's around you.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's just kind of like having the awareness and acknowledging that it's all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if clothes aren't your thing, because for many people, they just wear the same thing every day, and that is easy, and having that pattern and habit works. And so it's not about getting rid of that. It's right. about doing what works. And maybe your fun, creative expression piece is you love different colored socks. So with your outfit that no yes. one will see, you wear socks that only you know. Or you want to like wear some sexy undergarment and no yes. one will ever see it, but you will know. So it's your own private creative experience.
That's great. Yeah, socks. My father loved socks. He was just like a sock. And also his cologne.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
His, the way he layered it, he had a certain way of taking about 2 to 3 colognes. Mm-hmm. And one, I have to say this out loud. I don't know if whatever. Somebody back in, there was a story that somebody back in high school said to my dad, said, "I really like your cologne." So so whenever now we talk about cologne, we say cologne. But he would layer 2 to 3, and it was just like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? It smells so nice. But there was an art in it for sure.
It's absolutely true. And I love bringing in scent. You know, getting dressed is more than just putting on clothes. You know, I've interviewed people who really feel like how they do their hair is their creative expression.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. Great.
Yeah. It's in everything. Oh, okay. So we're getting to the top of the hour. So moving on to the third question, and kind of a little repetitive, but wrapping it up and putting it in a bow. So why do you think creativity is important?
Oh, I think it is. Oh my goodness. Why do I think it's important? It's important to me because it is my life force and lifeblood. If I didn't see the world through creative eyes, I feel like I would lose my zest for life. And it allows me to be more of who I am and follow my passions and unapologetically be myself and really not care about, I mean, I say not care. There are for sure times I 100% care what other people think, but not care as much maybe. to really give myself permission to just be who I am and want the things I want and have opinions about things, and that it's okay to be different. It's okay to be unique. It's okay to try new things, hate them, try something else, love it. Why it's important. Creativity brings joy and happiness and challenge and care and self-awareness and personal growth into life in a very different way. That's why it's important. It changes your life.
Is that all?
Is that all? Hey, not a small thing.
Oh my God. Some words I want to highlight in there are unapologetically, mm-hmm. happiness, challenge, care, self-awareness, joy, be different, unique. Those are some words that stood out. Permission.
Yeah.
Permission
all
is
of those.
Yeah. 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 I think permission is a really big gateway. I think it's like once you give yourself permission to make mistakes, to screw up, to not like something and actually say you don't like it.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Right? When was the last time you said you didn't like something?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think for myself. When was the last time I said I didn't like something?
Probably yesterday.
Maybe earlier today.
Yeah. My foot was hurting me, and I said to my husband, "Could you just please massage the back of it?" And he started tickling it. I'm like, "I hate when you do that."
That was not the request.
Like, I just asked for it to be rubbed.
Yeah, that permission is such, so important and such a huge component, I think, to life and creativity and authenticity.
Can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. I would love to. I am on most all of the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I'm at Sustaining Creativity. You can also find my podcast, Sustaining Creativity Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. I also have a website, sustainingcreativity.com. Those are the places you can find me. I love to chat about creativity, as you can tell, and support people in awakening creativity in their own life. And I have a lot of fun things coming up, some free creativity challenges that are coming up soon, and then a longer awakening creativity course that people can participate in and sign up for that comes in November.
Wonderful, which isn't that far away, scary enough. So before we close out, do you have any final words of wisdom that you feel like you need to say?
I just want to support people. If you have something you want to try, go try it. Try something new. Allow yourself to be curious about some aspect of your life. Give yourself the freedom or permission to hold curiosity around an area of challenge or something that you can't figure out, and see what happens. You might surprise yourself. And that's the beauty of creativity. You surprise yourself on a regular basis.
Yes. Perfect note to end on. Mari, thank you so much for hanging out.
You are so welcome. And thank you so much for the invitation to join you. It has been such a treat.
So much fun. So much fun. Love this chat. And very grateful to everybody here joining us live or listening to the replay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This space is all about connecting, sharing stories, inspiring each other. So please like, follow, and share, because we have always needed this, but we especially need this in this time, this connection. And just to let you know, Friday, it feels like Thursday, yeah. Friday the 17th, I will be launching my multi-author book, Creativity Is Whatever You Want It to Be. So yay, 20 amazing contributors talking about how they define creativity and how it's played out in their life. So please reach out. I will let you know how you can get your Kindle copy before it comes out in paperback. And just so exciting. We're expanding definitions here. So wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.